At Founders Brewing Company, we set out to create a beer that lets you embrace the unconventional. Mortal Bloom is a radiantly beautiful, hazy IPA that will wrap your taste buds with intense citrus and tropical notes of pineapple and mango. Coming in at 6.2% ABV with big aromatics and no bitterness, it's the perfect beer, if we do say so ourselves. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find Mortal Bloom Hazy IPA.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We drink tequila. We talk.
Welcome to Team Tequila Talks.
So, okay, let's pour.
Ooh. We're pouring a favorite of Team Tequila.
And our guests that we have coming up. Everybody, welcome to Team Tequila Talks. Your hosts, Cassandra Gina Mel and Sherianne Gonzalez. Getting things started with a fancy tequila. We love fancy tequila here at Team Tequila Talks, obviously. And this is Casa Dragones. We've talked about them before, and they are distilled in a volcano, or I guess on a volcano, not in a volcano. You'd probably die.
Well, that would be really dangerous.
I agree. Cheers. Do you want an orange?
Can I have one?
You may. Cheers. Oh, are we going to do the... Hold on. The date night...
Here we go.
Cheers. Getting romantic. Mm-hmm. Here at Team Tequila Talks. Okay.
That shot was actually better. I think everyone should do that. The little date night arm swivel shot.
I'll date night you.
It was a tequila kiss. We date night all the time.
That's true. That's very true. So we have a guest coming in today, Tish Galindo, and she is a boss bitch. So we decided to make a boss bitch drink.
Yes, we did.
Does anybody know what an espresso martini made with tequila is called?
Well, I do.
Well, yeah, but you cheated. I'm asking the people out there.
Oh, I mean, I assumed it was called an espresso. I was Googling espresso margarita because I was like, if it has tequila in it, it's margarita.
No, we talked about this. It's citrus.
But some people put an orange peel, orange liqueur. They put Cointreau inside of
that's true. No, you're correct.
It could have been a margarita.
I wouldn't put a martini, espresso, or tequila or otherwise in the margarita category. I think they're two completely different types of beverages, personally.
You don't shoot, in my opinion, espresso martinis.
No, you
don't. Or coffee? Well, if you get a little cortado,
like a little cortado shot.
All right, that's a little complicated. I think it borders more on a martini because this looks better in the martini glass. It doesn't look as cute in a margarita glass.
I want to talk about the explosion of the espresso martini right now. It's been around for a while.
100 years at least.
Yeah, it's been around for a hot minute. But I feel like it's really having its revival moment. You go anywhere and there's an espresso martini on the menu and people are drinking them. And even if it's not on the menu, people are ordering them. You go to the bartender. I sat at the bar the other day for lunch and said, "What's your specialty?" And he goes, "Espresso martini." I go, "Really?"
Come on.
That's kind of like everybody's right now. If I'm asking you for your specialty, I want something fun and exciting because I can get an espresso martini almost anywhere.
You can
right?
make it at home. You can make it in the morning with your coffee. I mean, if it's Sunday football, like instead of
that is a bold way to start your day.
That is super bold. But if it's the Super Bowl, then maybe
and your super team super bold for the Super Bowl.
And if your team's playing it, that might be like
that's true. Maybe you're getting pepped up for the day.
Right.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you there.
You're right. I think a lot of people. I know for me when I was in college and someone ordered like an espresso martini, it was usually when I was at dinner with my roommate's parents.
Yeah.
You know, they got off work, they were taking her and her roommates out for dinner. And I was like, ooh, why would anyone ever drink that? It's disgusting.
They want to class it up, right?
But it still was like an old people's drink. I looked at it.
Yeah, well, it was back then. And now it's like all of the Gen Zers are coming of age to drink.
It's
and
they're college like, bars.
What's that? The same way that like Crocs are coming back. I hate it, but it's a thing.
You know, the Croc thing. Look, I it's will take an espresso martini over a Croc fashion any day. Like I told my daughter, I was like, you know, a lot of the dancers, they wear Crocs in between classes. And I'm like, do you want a pair of Crocs? And she's like, absolutely not. And I'm like, you are good my girl. Child. You yeah. are my child. I don't think plastic shoes with holes in it.
I feel like they're foam. I don't even think they're plastic. Foam. I think they're like squishy, aren't they?
But they're probably not even.
I don't know.
Like,
I've never worn one.
Are they recyclable?
No. Well, then they have to be bad for the environment.
But then that would be better if they were recyclable because they look like trash. So I figured.
Like cork?
I don't think they're corky. I just don't agree with plastic shoes with holes that you have to wear with socks.
I literally hate them. I couldn't agree more. My husband loves them, and listen, to each their own. But I personally don't like them. I'm not that type of person in a relationship. It's like you can't wear that. You do you. I married you because I like you.
Right.
Even with all of your quirks, I just happen to not like Crocs.
Right.
If you want to wear Crocs, you go ahead. You're just not going to see me in them.
Which I agree, and I think a lot of young girls, and I think it's fashionable, but it's not sexy. I'm always trying to achieve a very good balance of relaxed but cute.
But there are ways to be relaxed but cute that don't have like foam foot covers that have holes in them. It doesn't do it for me.
It's called a flip-flop.
Some of the other fashion revivals right now while we're on this topic, I am having a really hard time keeping up with denim trends.
I love denim.
So do I, but I feel like I just saw this one Instagram thing and it said how to give a millennial a Gen Z makeover. And I was kind of curious because the outfits looked very similar with subtle differences. So for example, they're like, you got to wear the Chelsea boot now, not the UGG boot. You've got to have a fitted crop cardigan, not a long like robe like cardigan.
Okay. So I just bought it was a cardigan pair that I got off on Zara, and it's like a crop cardigan with a bra thing that, and you, one button, it snaps with one button.
Yeah. The cardigan sets are very in right now, which I feel like were pretty big in the 90s.
I feel like I'm going back to like,
that's my point. And especially with denim, because now even, I feel like we did the skinny high-waisted stretchy jegging thing for so long. And now it's like jeggings are our mom jeans.
Are you kidding me? If you have a tapered ankle right now, you are not killing it.
No. And those Gen Zers are vicious.
They are.
They'll get you.
I have cigarette pants, like the cigarette leg.
Yeah. So those are longer, but they kind of scrunch at the bottom.
They do,
right?
But they're like a little, like a tapered leg. I have some wide legs that I like to wear right now. I have some flares that I love a flare. I think it's flattering for my figure.
So I agree. I think it's flattering for everyone's figure.
I think it is because it gives you like an hourglass and it's like, oh, nope, but I'm going back out. It's like a mermaid dress.
So you either have to have, correct me if I'm wrong, you've either got to have the cropped jean, whether that is like, kind of stringy and raggedy or hemmed,
frayed.
But it's got to be ankle out or extra long.
Extra long. But for me, that's hard because I'm short. So if it's too long, then I have to wear like a 6-inch heel, which is, it's a lot. Or get it. So a lot of my pants I have to get tailored. But yeah, you have to be extra long and covering the shoe.
Which, I've seen a lot of the Gen Zers too, the low rise is coming back as well. Am I misinterpreting or is this a kid thing?
I do think there's a cutoff for it. I mean, Miu Miu just did their Paris Fashion Week and they have the low skirt and it's like a 2-inch skirt. Have you seen? It's like a pleated tennis skirt, but I'm not even joking. It's like 3 inches and it's low. And you have these models walking and I'm like, that is a piece of toilet paper wrapped around pleated toilet paper. I'm out. I'm tapping out of the low rise anything.
I'm not opposed to the low rise if it's balanced out with something else.
Well, the low, you're supposed to do like the Paris Hilton back in our day in 2000.
The Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Christina Aguilera,
the Britney Spears, where you had the low jeans, but the kind of loose crop.
Right. But there was a lot of stomach being shown back then. And I feel like with this particular revival, you can wear the low waist, but you're expected to not have your entire stomach out. It's more of a peekaboo as opposed to look at all of my abs.
Right. And I think, but that's a structural thing. I have very small abs. You have a long torso. Yeah, I have small, I have a short torso. You have a long torso.
So you're saying what's a peekaboo for me might be like...
Are you kidding me? It goes to my
half
bottom
your
of my... No, a peekaboo for you probably touches my jeans.
Got it. It's the other way around.
Because I have a short torso. Yeah. My torso is not that long. Like, this is not supposed to be... The skirt I'm wearing right now is not supposed to be high rise.
Well, that's another thing with denim trends. It's coming back, jean skirts, which I've been waiting a decade for because I love denim skirt. Everything.
I do.
So I'll take any type of jean skirt that is back.
I think all jeans back. I have about 40. No, I'm lying. I have about 15 pairs of jeans in my closet, and I gave some away. The reason being is that I am a jean whore. If I see a dope jean in whatever label it is, and I know I can fit it, I buy it. The problem with me is that I'll only wear two at a time for like the whole year.
Yeah.
Because then I get married to the jean.
You get married to it. And then I'm like, you've got a whole stack of denim in your closet.
I know. And then I'm like, oh, I can only wear this jean for the next 2 years, for this whole year. Right now I have two jeans, my wide leg, and I have these cigarette legs, and then I have a flare jean. That's, I rotate them. Like, to my point, my husband, I went to New York, and he's like, there's the trio. He opened
my
bag, and
he's
like,
trio.
There's the girls. I missed you. Because I'm not going to wear any other jean right now. And I'm like, it's emotional.
There's Chelsea, Allison, and Jennifer. Who are we taking out tonight?
I'm like, is it Chelsea? We're being Chelsea. So true.
So I keep a bag. I have this huge bag of denim that I put in storage. I sealed it up and put it in storage. Mm-hmm. And my husband was like, why don't you just throw it away? Yes. And I'm like, because this shit's coming back.
Yes.
It is coming back.
Oh, if I would have never gotten rid of my... my other jeans, then
you could have saved a fortune in denim shopping.
I have one pair of my Frankie B jeans.
Okay, we're shaking. We have our guests. We have Tish Galindo. We're gonna introduce you to Tish in a minute. Yep. While Sherry shakes, you know she loves her shake weight move. Today we are drinking a version of an espresso martini because Tish is a boss bitch.
Yes, she is.
We're gonna get more into that. And we thought, what is appropriate for a boss bitch? And I said, a tequila espresso martini. Because, you know, you got to get your shit done. You got to be caffeinated. You got to be focused. But you also want a little tequila in it for sure.
And
right?
You want to be surrounded with other boss bitches. How about that?
Correct. Yes.
Love it.
So the funny thing is we were looking up the ratios of the espresso martini recipe, I guess, because there's a couple different ways that you can make it. And, you know, this espresso martini revival thing is a thing, and many bartenders are kind of putting their spin on an espresso martini. And there's a couple different brands that you can use. We're going to talk more about brands, too.
Love it.
A couple different ratios. There's different ways, you know, you could use Mr. Black. You can use Kahlua. You can use espresso. Mm. You can use cold brew. You can use different types of tequila. Do you use a reposado? Do you use a silver? So there's a few options. But when I looked it up, I found out that a tequila espresso martini is actually called El Jefe. So it's so appropriate as a boss bitch drink. And I was actually suggesting that maybe we change it to like El Jefita.
El Jefita, las dueñas, las patronas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Patronas.
Cheers.
Here you go. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, ladies.
Cheers. And I have to say it's made with one of your favorites, Casa Dragones Blanco.
So we had to make it extra boss bitch and make it the ultra premium.
Yes.
I know. It's so good.
Oof. Mm-hmm. That curled my eyelashes.
It's because it's like 5 o'clock, people. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock
but
here.
But you could still go back and do work after this.
It's espresso time.
You can do work and have an espresso martini right before a big meeting just to get a little hair on your chest, get that heat going.
Well, this was like back in the 50s, people would go have three.
But this is candy. This is good.
So good, right? And back in the 50s, like, people would do three martinis at lunch and then just go back to work. And now we don't really do that because we also know that those weren't the healthiest work environments. But
tequila does have health benefits.
Of course it does.
So we're going to like make excuses and rationalize.
Yes. Well, I mean, in Spain, I mean, my husband was working there, and every day for lunch, they had bottles of red wine on the table and white wine and sparkling wine, just to, like they said, just to wet your tongue for the rest of the day so you look can look forward to the rest of your evening.
So as a Latina, I didn't know that that wasn't a thing. We grew up with red wine, and then the men, because it is like a male culture, the men always, you know, had tequila for lunch. It's just a thing.
They did that too in your culture, not just like a European.
Mexican culture. I mean, it's typical to have like a tequila shot during the day, and
it just gets the juices flowing, but no one overdrinks.
No.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
It's just a normal, and I'm like, yeah, tequila shot. Why not?
Can we normalize
it? Actually, not even tequila shot. It's sipped, right?
Right.
So in Mexican culture, it's sipped, and you enjoy the tequila, and then here it's just like, pour the tequila, and it's just such a different way of looking at it. But yes, I'm not surprised. So cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
To a 5 o'clock martini. And
with a little espresso, a little kick.
Little
it's delicious.
Kick.
A little kick. So wait, Tish Galindo.
Hit us with some info.
Is the CEO and founder of the 360 Agency, which is a multicultural agency with multi-segment capabilities, which is a very, very nice way to say,
so
what do you do?
What do we do? First of all, thank you.
Yes.
I love being in the companionship of other boss women. I love everything that you're doing. Kudos to you to just like following a dream and a passion. So
that's
awesome.
We are passionate about tequila.
Yes, you are. You're creative and fun about it. And you said something about 1950s. In the 1950s, women wouldn't have been having a cocktail. It was also such a male culture thing.
Right.
And here we are as women just defining our way and creating drinks that we love and then having, you know, just companionship amongst women. So I love this.
Yes.
About the agency. So, yes, founded it 12 years ago. We help brands grow with multicultural markets, and multicultural is the new mainstream. So we have global brands that we help shape their way into growth. And so we get to do really creative things. We live in this space of social, digital branding, and some of our clients are AT&T, Expedia, Hotels.com,
HBO, VRBO.
So yes. some new up-and-comers.
It's a little tiny brand.
Little tiny brand that you may have heard of. I mean, and you've worked with like Samsung, the Spurs, and the list goes on
the
and
list
on.
The list goes on.
And you, do you attach, I think, what, when I was like researching your, I mean, I know you, but I was also researching your company, and I was like, there's certain type of branding agencies. Some do people. They just attach, they get like a bunch of athletes or celebrities together and they're like, you know, your Instagram is trending more male. So we're going to go to Gillette Sensors.
Right.
Is that what, do you attach these big brands? So you're the opposite. You have the big brands that you're trying to attach to the talent.
So we do a lot of what used to be called branded entertainment, where you worked with a lot of celebrity to really kind of move a brand forward and get them closer to their audience. And what was the best way is to work like with celebrity and artist talent to help make that connection. Today we call them influencers, right? And we know the power of micro influencers and how powerful they really are in a conversation. Our job is to grow a brand's audience, who they're in relationship with, and essentially it grows the brand's ability to sell to them. So we used to use the LeBrons of the world, who we've done work with, John Legend, all of them. But equally as powerful are these micro-influencers that people attach to and really believe in.
I think that's us.
That is me.
I think we're micro-influencers.
Yes, you are.
So I was just going to say, what defines a micro-influencer? Is it a certain number of followers? Is it a certain number of engagement? Is it a certain number of posts or present or brand presence or brand development? What would make you look at somebody and go, that's a micro-influencer?
Yes to all of it, is that you have an expertise in an area where people really value you and they follow you because of it. And you serve as a conduit to brands like Casa Dragones, who's like, hey, I want to talk to your audience. And rather than me going to them, it's really this repositioning of C2B, which is consumers are driving. It used to be where brands could come and just talk to you. Well, it's not the case anymore. Consumers are so intelligent. They want to have a conversation where it meets their needs. And so they're already following you because you're fun and dynamic and smart and you make great cocktails. So there's a lot of authenticity there and they believe in what you're sharing with them. So Casa Dragones would say, I want to talk to your audience and I can't come to them without them thinking that we're just doing a hard sell. We actually do want them to have a wonderful experience. Can you help us connect to that audience? And they already love you. They already follow you. So my job is to solve that problem for Casa Dragones, speak to women like you, influencers, and create these moments, these experiences where now Casa Dragones isn't selling. They're actually in relationship with the consumer. And you serve as that conduit to me because they love you. And it feels natural. It is natural. It's organic. And it's valuable to them. We're giving them something like really amazing espresso martinis that I'm like, oh my God, are we going to make it for the rest of the evening?
We will make it.
So that's what I do. And back to your question, it is based on following, but engagement. We're not just looking for following, but are people involved? Are they responding to you? So you can have a million followers, but if you have less than like a 3% engagement, I don't know how much you're really influencing. And right now what we find is that people are very responsive to video, short video.
The reels on Instagram.
Because our attention span is like nothing.
But you would think, see, this is where it's counterintuitive because I know that reels and videos are replacing photos, but photos don't require an attention span. You just look at them and go, yes, I'm vibing with this, or no, I'm not. But it's less about I have to sit here and watch a multi-second or minute-long video. So it seems counterintuitive to me that we're making this shift to reels and TikToks and videos.
It's the content. So an image is only going to tell you so much, but when we have a little bit more storytelling, people don't want to read. They don't want to figure it out. They don't want to think. They want you to give it like quick, snackable.
Okay, so you're saying that reels are not replacing photos, really. Reels are replacing blogs because they don't want to read a whole blog with photos and et cetera, et cetera. They want it summed up in a 7-second vibe in a reel.
Yes, unless I do. And you gave me enough, so now I do. And now I want to go into the YouTube content and actually understand the entire recipe or, you know, the how-to. But you got to give me enough to capture me, to get me engaged and be like, I'm actually interested in knowing more about this. So we're constantly trying to figure out how to be in relationship with that consumer.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, like, basically, consumers, these brands want kind of like, it's almost like the egg has hatched and they're attaching to after the egg is hatched and you have your audience, you're living your life, but they want it so authentic. Because I remember me and my husband, we did like a branded deal with a company and they approached us because they were like, your family is exactly what we want for this. And we're like, oh, okay. They're like, no, because you're actually in love. Are you still married? We're like, yeah, we're married. They did three interviews with
I'm
us.
I'm in love.
Yeah. Well, they did three interviews with us. They're like, are you guys living together? We're like, yeah. They're like, and you're not separated. And that's how much they were like, we don't want to put out like contrived content because the consumer is so smart.
So smart.
And they'll look back on your page and be like, they haven't been together. This is a lie when they're selling this family that's in love with a beautiful little girl and they want you to buy their jeans. And I was like, this is very intense. It was like three interviews.
I love it. I think it's really taking like the varnish off things. And what audiences are asking for is give me the unvarnished, relatable, nitty gritty
authenticity.
Yeah. Authenticity. And authenticity is such a, like a buzzword in my industry. Sometimes it's like, oh, what is authenticity? But people just want relatable content, even like ad spots. And I think the advertising industry is, you know, up for a challenge. It doesn't perform as well. I think the numbers are 3% retention rate versus 6% when it's non-ad spot, non-scripted. People want to watch the unscripted, natural, organic, grainy influencer, micro influencer content.
But see, this is my issue. So like I've heard the word authentic when it comes to branding. Mm-hmm. And with my husband, and he doesn't attach himself to a lot of brands. If he doesn't use the product, that's just him.
I know him. Yeah, he's a values guy.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not gonna freaking do a Carl's Jr. ad. I don't need Carl's Jr.
I was gonna say they approached Stephen and I for a family McDonald's, and I go, absolutely not. I don't need to hear any of the rest of this.
Yeah,
this goes against everything that I stand for.
Right, and but I think. And your
audience would know that.
Of course.
We're all about nutrition and tequila here. Right. So it's like, but
because there are some health benefits.
There are. There's a ton. And mixed with a good diet, you're like winning. But it's like, I heard that word, but then you look at some of the photoshopping and this really porcelain type of people on Instagram that are also getting deals. So I'm like, well, that's not very authentic when you're making your waist smaller and you're photoshopping to pistivity, but they're still getting branding deals. So some companies still like that overdone, over contoured, talking about females, look. Like, I hate to call it a Kardashian look, but it is. Mm-hmm. It's their look. But some companies are like, no, is it their influence or their look?
So I have a thought on that, because obviously people love, for example, fashion, and high fashion is a thing. High fashion is, you're in Paris, fashion week, crazy brands, and all of these runways with supermodels and celebrities in the audience and famous designers and, you know, OG influencers and new age influencers. But you look at the clothes on the runway and you go, well, that's art. That's not something you would see on the street. But people still love it and appreciate it as art. Now, I'm not directly saying that an over-photoshopped photo is art. But there's an aesthetic to it that I think that that's why some people really lean into it, is because in the same way that you'd use a filter or you'd cartoon something, there's a vibe to it. There's a brand. There's just a certain look to it.
So you're like the cover of the magazines back in the day, or even now. So it's a moving magazine.
Yeah.
So if you're on TikTok and using a bunch of photoshopping tools, it's just a moving, it's just like, it's art is what you're saying.
Yeah. Or it's a version of, I hate the word art, because some people are going to be like, well, what kind of art ruins body positivity? And right, that's not really what I'm saying. You know, for example, I don't get long nails done because for a variety of reasons, but doesn't mean that I don't appreciate, because it doesn't work for me, but it works for you guys. It's an aesthetic, right?
Yeah, right.
And like, it's
part of our brand.
100%. Yes, right? And by the way, I wish I could do the long nails thing. I bite them to holy hell, and then it cracks my actual nails. And so I got to stick to my minimal.
It cracks mine too.
Minimal, natural.
But it's part of the price.
But well, and some people love like the colored lashes.
Yeah.
And I don't want that all the time, maybe for a party, but I respect that that's a form of self-expression.
Right.
So I think it's an aesthetic. I think it's a form of self-expression. I think it can be a vibe. I'm not trying to say that all photos should be photoshopped, but like some photos, people also choose to post in black and white. And that is a specific vibe or a specific look that someone's going for. So I just think that that's where people are coming from when it comes to wanting to Photoshop things into a specific look.
I think what we're all asking for is transparency. Like, yeah, do it, but don't be ashamed about it.
Call
it what it is, because look, there's something aspirational about seeing runway and art form, and it inspires.
Right.
It's aspirational. Great. But I think that when we do get into a culture, and maybe this is going off track of like what branding work is, but when we get into this filter culture, and we try to deny that it's a filter.
Hashtag no makeup.
Mm-hmm. You know, what does that really do? And then it's a false expectation all the way around. And I know there's like this whole article on Kim Kardashian saying like, I get minimal work done. And there's a lot of criticism around it because it doesn't set up women, younger women. Like, can you really reach that? Is it really natural? Does she owe us honesty around whether she gets work or not? I don't know. I don't know that she does. What she does owe us is to not lie about it.
Not lying about it.
Because
she doesn't have to tell us her
the
secrets,
truth,
but she does need to not lie about it.
I agree. And I think Jennifer Lawrence, this actress, is promoting.
Remember.
I love her. And she was saying, like, it's cool. But unfortunately, young girls are watching you and you're selling your makeup to younger girls, like most women.
Right. You're saying it's just the lip liner and nothing right. else.
Right. And also right. saying right. like, oh no, my cheeks grew. Like that's just right. not a real thing. Like,
yeah. If anything, it's the opposite.
It's the right. opposite. So, and we've seen her morph over the years. And look, does she have great work? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do people, could she benefit? And maybe partner with a plastic surgeon or partner with a guy doing injections and maybe put her name, the Kardashian Botox Clinic, and make a billion more? Probably.
Probably, yeah.
You know?
Or if you don't want to share your secrets, don't share your secrets, but don't lie about it because it just, it's yeah. not transparent. It doesn't set up younger women, actually any woman, right? Yeah. Because I'm like, oh my God, she looks like that right now. Like, oh my God. So I don't think that I owe anybody like all my secrets, but I think I do owe you honesty and right. and at least saying, oh, you know, I don't know that I want to share.
Right.
What's your secret?
None ya business. None. What?
Tequila at five.
Speaking right. of tequila at five, let's get into this beautiful pink bottle over here. What is this?
Okay,
what are we drinking?
So I really don't know.
Okay, so
one of my staffers gave it to me. They know I'm a tequila lover.
Yes.
And I don't know enough about rosé tequila.
This is...
But I thought, what better than sharing pink tequila
absolutely.
With...
So this is baby pink. This is like ooh, barely pink.
Pink. Yeah.
And some of the rosé...
It kind of matches
drink.
Your nails. Your long, beautiful nails that I appreciate
clink,
sharing.
Clink, clink, clink. So this is called Tequila Rosa Blanco. So this is a Rosa Blanco. It's like a Rosa mm-hmm. white.
Tally Rosa. This is yeah. a very
what we call
California.
A
hoven. Yeah. Yes, 100% de agave. Thank you for mm-hmm. bringing that because yes. we do nothing less here. So let's pour it up. It's pretty clear.
Yeah, we would have had to make you check it at the door. If
I know. Well, Tish is a tequila aficionado.
A purist? Are you a purist?
Yeah, she will sip.
You're not mad that we mixed the Dragones with espresso?
I was. Dragones should be chilled and it should be pure and straight. But
see,
okay.
See the boss telling us?
Yes.
Keeping us in line.
I'm like, okay.
The checking our El Jefita or La Jefita? What are we? What are we gonna call it?
Great tequila is sipped, and then you.
I agree.
I'm gonna sip this.
You mix.
And we find out if it's
we're
great.
Gonna get you your Casa Cheers. Dragones pure. Mmm.
Fruity.
It is very fruity.
Yeah, but it's fruit forward. I wouldn't say that it's fruity on the back end.
No.
That sounded it's a little sexual.
Well, it no, I don't like my back end, okay? Don't touch my back end.
I like my back end to myself.
Jury's out on Cassandra.
I'm just sitting here thinking that if somebody was going to be in the vicinity of my back end, I'd want it to be fruity, okay?
I want my...
Right. Wait, so I will say...
I want mine back to myself.
Right. I would say this is a good beginner.
Yeah,
Rosa.
It's very approachable.
It is so approachable, very so approachable. Light. Yeah. It is very easy to drink.
It is.
This is the tequila that someone's like, I don't really do tequila. And then you say, well, how about this one? This one is super smooth. It doesn't pack a punch. It is fruit forward for sure. And it has a little bit of that tequila taste at the back end that kind of – I don't want to say spicy, but you know, it you can feel it going down your throat, but then it just kind of goes away right after. It's not the kind that lingers. So I feel like this is pretty approachable.
We are so spot on. This is a California Rosa Blanco, mm-hmm. hence the name Cali Rosa.
Okay, and but hold on. What makes it California? Because we know that tequila has to come from Mexico.
It is aged in California red wine barrels
there
for 30 days.
Awesome. This is from Brenda. Who I believe she was on a trip and she brought this back.
Shout out to Brenda.
Hey, mm-hmm. Brenda.
Thank you.
Yeah, and this has notes of strawberry, raspberry, honey, and the flavor is agave for with orange, cherry, and dark berry notes.
That's a lot of fruit.
So we are very aficionados because we said fruit forward.
Yeah, no, we've tasted tequila a time or two. So this had a 93-point score, which is pretty high.
That's pretty high. Yeah. This is a good beginner.
I think it's because it's really smooth.
Yeah, and if you're interested in trying a new, you know, Rosa Blanco or Reposado. No, we had a Reposado Rosa the other day.
Yeah, and this is
a whole
this
nother.
Is a Blanco. That's why it's so much lighter and so much, I don't want to say more clear, but kind of it's like kind it of, looks like, thinner.
You can do instead of doing a sangria, I would do a tequila-ria with this. It'd be so nice with some fruit.
Tequila-ria. Like maybe some soda, kind of like a tequila soda, some spritzy fruit. Type sangria mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah, if you don't want to get too drunk.
I like my gel.
Oh damn! We're failing Tish today.
I don't mix my tequila, but
no, yes.
she is a purist.
She said I like mine chilled. We don't have it chilled, so well, negative.
We have a shaker. We have ice. We can make this happen.
We do not have ice. Our shaker is consumed with espresso martini.
We can pour it, and then we're gonna shake the next one for you.
Okay,
we're gonna send Sherry on a mission.
Yes, I will.
She's go get some ice.
I will get some ice L cubes. So okay. Wait.
So I love these, by the way. Where did these little pieces?
These came from one of our favorite brands, Del Maguey.
Del Maguey Mezcal.
Yeah, and our friend, the Southwest Wes of Del Maguey, she left us these as a souvenir, and they're perfect for little tasting sippers. They're amazing because they're handmade, and they're just little guys with that really, like you said, authentic vibe.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
Wait.
So before we dig into the chilled, what's our third tequila?
Our third tequila is Viva.
It's Viva 32.
Viva 32. Okay.
So Yvonne Niami, who is a founder, developer, and distributor of this tequila, I'm so proud of her. She's U.S. born of Mexican parents, and she too had this mission where she wanted to bring some of her culture, her heritage to life. So I love like the modern bottle.
Love the bottle.
Artsy.
Love them. Made so that you can easily hold it. This is the Blanco. And the 32 is about the 32 perfect temperature for it to be chilled. So 32 degrees is freezing point.
I was just about to say, is she going to be mad if we chill it? And you're saying absolutely not. You're supposed to chill it.
Yes.
That's some bougie ass shit where it gives you directions on the damn tech. It's Viva 32 means at 32
did
Celsius.
Did you bring your thermometer, Sherry?
Perfection. I did not. And then I love what it stands for. Besides Viva 32 being, it's a spicy tequila. 10% of all profits go to the Humane Animal Society. And so she's a huge lover of puppies and dogs. So, it stands for, it's purposeful.
So I really like that it says on here, the taste is crafted to have one only partner. Ice. No chase of lime or slap in the face necessary. See, that's how tequila is supposed to be. You shouldn't have to have a slap in the face. You shouldn't have to have a bitter lime.
I call it the asshole face.
Yeah, well, see, this is actually the funny thing is we had oranges here for our Dragonas earlier because we don't really do limes here at Team Tequila Talks unless it is as part of a cocktail, meaning like we did like a coconut lime martini and basic margaritas sometimes we'll mix in some lime along with other citrus when we have guests on that say, I love a margarita, I love this, I love that. And we always love to support everybody where they are at on their tequila journey, inclusive of everybody everywhere.
There are some nights.
We have a lot of people that come on and just want to sip.
We have lots of people who come on who want to sip, and we are unopposed.
Okay. We're going to go get some ice.
Are you getting some ice? Okay.
Okay, so Cassandra, tell me, what got you so excited about doing tequila?
So I've always been a massive tequila fan, and I'm always the person at the bar that's like, put down that vodka soda, you're making a mistake. I 100% say, here's what you should be drinking. Let's look at what's in the bar, and let's get you onto tequila because it does have health benefits, as you mentioned, and it's an upper, not a downer. And a lot of alcohol is more sedating. And I just really think that if people knew how to properly drink tequila and if people were educated about tequila, they'd drink more of it. And this is kind of my issue. This is one of the reasons why I love what's on this tag here. One of my issues is that people, the second that they ask for a tequila shot, they immediately make the face before they even have it and they ask for a lime. And I'm like, no. Right. Let's actually sip it and taste it properly. And that's going to mean like putting your tongue to the roof of your mouth and breathing out so you can experience the flavors like an essential oil that come out of your mouth or that come out that you breathe out as you are sipping it. Right. And once you are drinking a proper tequila in a proper way, it changes the opinion of tequila for so many people, right? The opinion about tequila for so many people. And so I have always been trying to tell people this, but then, you know, there's people drinking at a bar or a restaurant that's loud. There's a lot going on. So you just want to have the ability to educate people about tequila in a way that's going to be lasting and make them want to be adventurous, make them want to experiment.
And love it. Well, and I think what you're touching on, which is really important to Mexican culture, is that it's a spirit to be appreciated.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, it became like a shoot. And then I think it just learned behavior.
Well, you know,
everyone thought like, oh, you're supposed to shoot it and it sucks.
And eat the worm. Yeah, no. So we've actually talked about this before. But for anybody who hasn't caught it on a previous episode, you know, one of the reasons that tequila kind of got a bad reputation was because somewhere in the mid-century, I'd say, the Sauza family and the Cuervo family started sending tequila to the United States, except for they were sending their mixtos, which was only 50% agave. So to give you an idea, we only drink 100% in this room. This was 50%. So what's the other 50%? Sugar water.
Sure.
And so when you mix the tequila with sugar water, cheers.
Thank
cheers.
You, Sherry.
We have chilled Tish Galindo's Casa Dragones. I sweated to get this ice.
I
walked a mile.
I would say that is exactly 32 degrees, Sherry. So good work by you.
That shaking.
That's very light and smooth.
I used my mom temperature.
fever.
You're fine.
I touched the shaker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you got weird hand temperature.
I do.
So I think that, you know, we want to find tequilas that are good for everybody. We want tequilas that are approachable for the first timers, and we want tequilas that are grassy and earthy and spicy and complex for people that love tequila and really appreciate it. Because our whole point is that tequila has such a range, and there are so many ways to do it. One of my favorite quotes was when we had Comos on, and they said, "It's your tequila, drink it how you want it."
Yes.
So you've got your purists for sure, and then you have on the other end of that, it's your tequila, drink it how you want it. And our whole point is that find where you are on the spectrum and come and drink some good tequila and just appreciate it. You shouldn't be making a face after it.
Right.
You shouldn't look like someone just jabbed you in the side. You should be enjoying your tequila.
It's true. And I accidentally poured, because maybe I've had too much tequila, the Casa Dragones instead of the Viva 32.
Girl.
Stop it.
Real true facts.
Oh my God, look at that. It's not even.
I don't. I'm like, wow, this wasn't as spicy as it normally is.
I didn't. Okay. I did the proximity, and it was like near tequila. This is, I just like, oh, this one.
Okay. We got to go get more.
I know.
Is there still ice in there?
There's still ice, but I don't want to mix it.
I don't want to mix the flavors.
Well, hold on, but let me do this. Because there's still a good amount of ice.
Sherry. Okay, well, while she's doing that, I'm going to put this in front of you.
But wait, so we touched on micro-targeting brands, which is one of my questions.
Yes.
Micro-targeting with brands. Now, are you a... Do you go on set with people? Because, like, I know a few people in brand marketing and, you know, depending on the agency you're with, they're very, like, I'm going to connect you and I'm done.
Yeah, no, we go on set, and I've had like an incredible career of going on set with just icons in the industry. And then two of the icons that I would have been like, oh my God, over the roof with are LeBron and John Legend, and that all happened during COVID. So we had to do that all remotely. And I'm like, how does this happen? How do I like... finally get to an epic point in my career, LeBron, like the goat of goats, right?
Like, they just wouldn't let you. Were you on Zoom? Were you just watching from?
We produced everything through his team, Maverick, and through really Zoom and a very limited team. So, like, how does this happen? I finally get to work like with this individual, and it happened that way.
Like one of the goats.
And then the same with John Legend. We created the spot for Vrbo. And
it's called Vrbo?
Vrbo.
I've always said VRBO.
It's called Vrbo.
It's Vrbo.
Look, breaking news here, people. It's called Vrbo.
Vrbo. And
without a verb, because the verb is the E, but it's not there.
It's vacation rental owners, so it's Vrbo. And we created the spot. this opportunity with the John Legend music piece in I Can See Clearly Now. And it was actually a kind of a coming together during COVID of seeing clearly now in like a new horizon. Mm-hmm. And you should come stay together during, you know, during this time, and that it could be safe with the people that you love. Anyway, it was an incredible time, an epic moment. And it was all shit. Kind of remotely with masks. I'm like,
well, I saw that spot, that and then cheers. You cheers.
Okay, this is now actually our Viva 32.
Now
Viva 32.
Chilled at 32. I checked with my mom hands.
Okay, I don't know if you're all 32 yet.
Never.
I wouldn't say it's spicy. I'd say it's spiced.
It's spiced and as it licorice.
Ah, well, Skip, tell me about that.
Spiced.
She's from Texas.
Yeah.
They had vowels at the end.
Yeah, I think that it's. I feel like it's more like. It's,
I feel like it is. It is a licorice-y?
Licorice.
I'm tasting licorice.
Well, I have a question for you because you know obviously you've got this is your friend's brand, but I want to know you've worked in branding and you've worked with celebrities, and now we have celebrities that are attaching themselves to tequila brands. And we've talked about this before. You know, there are tons of people that have
did
tequila
brands. Did my composure
brands
change?
You shifted in your seat, ma'am.
It's because it's authenticity.
Give
right?
us that right. BTS information. Yeah. We want to know, like, how does a celebrity get paired up with a brand? What are the industry secrets here that you are allowed to tell us?
Oh, God. I don't know if I can go on that, you know, that rant. So I love what Casamigos did for the industry.
We love Casamigos here.
Yep.
I also think that there are a lot of issues going on in Tequila, Mexico, that need to benefit from the prosperous boom of tequila in the U.S. And I think it's going to be global. Like, I'm not trying to swim in, like, this red ocean of the U.S. I think that tequila is going to be global. Yeah. So I'm incredibly excited about that. So Diddy's doing a great job with De Leon. Mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful bottle. I think there's room for women. I think there's a lot of women room for women. And I think that in anything, we want to make sure, at least my values are sustainability, giving back, and authenticity, right? Like, from time to time, I do take issue because I do think it's important that it benefit the culture and its origins in some way. So what we're all going to do is promote something that gives back to that community where you have quemadores who work incredibly hard and aren't seeing the benefits of the profits of the boom in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So the question was, how do I feel about celebrity endorsing it? Mm-hmm.
Celebrity tequilas.
Or owning it.
I think it's powerful in the way of raising awareness. Like, I love that part of it. And then I think it's missing the component of, how are you giving back? How is it enriching the communities and its origins? And how are you moving culture forward, like Mexican culture? Yep. How are you moving forward Latino culture? How are you helping the people who are actually, you know, like...
Making it.
And,
right.
It, you know...
It's their process.
Have you all been to tequila? Have you been to any of the...
We have never been to...
You are coming.
Let's go.
I am.
Let's go right now.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Let's go right now.
Okay. So, Viva 32 is in the same distillery as not Amigos. I'm
Noble.
Sorry. No. Casa Noble.
Casa Drogas?
Dragones.
Dragones.
Oh, it's in the same
distillery. So
wow. Nom. That's the nom.
Yep. We are planning a trip. It's okay. Fabulous. So
you want to do Mexico with Tish?
Tequila Country is like the Napa. It's great restaurants. I mean, there's like, you know, it's Mexico at the end of the day. Yep. But there's fabulous food. There's a great experience. There's culture. There's love. So I can't wait. Like, we're planning.
I've never had a bad time in Mexico.
Never. We went for New Year's. Me and Cassandra did with our husbands.
I didn't get the memo.
But
carry on.
You're the one who told me to go. Oh. We went to Villa de Guadalupe.
Oh, yeah.
Valle. Valley, not house.
Riot, big one.
Well, on that note, we do have to wrap it up.
Oh, yes.
Tish, thank you so much for shedding a little light on the branding industry and just giving everybody a little insight to the life of a female entrepreneur and tequila enthusiast.
And we are now called micro influencers. Me and Cassandra, I might change our handle to tequila micro influencers.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Add it.
Tish, thank you for joining us. And as always,
thank you.
Subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already, and on Instagram. We're still working on that TikTok thing, aren't we?
Tickle Tockle has been manned down because of other reasons.
Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week on Team Tequila Talks.
Adios.
Bye. That was awesome. Thank you so much, Tish.
I might be drunk. You can't, one after the other.
I know. I mean... We did a few, but it's tequila in an hour. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It cycles through.
And it was...
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.